about the faith. Now, I want to also say something to you about teaching methods, because I feel, again, this is one of our problems. But this idea of teaching, now let me first say, this idea of teaching, every Baha'i teaches, is something that is so vital, like every day we must eat. It's just as important as that. The same way that we said every day we read the writings, every day we must engage somehow in teaching. And it's a daily thing. Shoghi Effendi mentions that. It's a daily thing. It's not once a month going from one town to another. It is something daily. I remember another important thing that I want to mention here before I give you some examples of this is that Abdu'l-Bahá mentions this, that if we do not teach the faith, divine assistance will be cut off from us. I'm sure you've heard this. Now you realize that God is very loving to all creation. And yesterday we talked about forgiveness. You remember that? We talked about forgiveness. And how God's forgiveness, what things it can do with it. And I'm sure that God forgives all the things that people do. But there are certain things which to a Baha'i he cannot do. You see, God's assistance reaches the whole of this creation. If ever for one moment the assistance of God is cut off from people, they are not able to exist. The assistance of God reaches all creation. And God does not withhold his assistance from any human being. As long as they live, he's assisting them in whatever they do. If you go the right way, he assists you. If you go the wrong way, he'll assist you. Even the enemies of the faith are being assisted. Because God does not interfere in our actions. We have the free will. He shows us the way, yes. He sends his messengers, he shows us the way. He throws light upon our path. And he says, this is the right way to come. But it is up to you to choose it. And if you go this way, he'll help you. If you go the opposite way, he also will help you. It's like the engine in a car. The engine does not decide which way to go. But it will give you the power, whichever one you decide to go. This is how God acts with us. This is how he... and now, he acts in this way. His assistance reaches all humanity. But it will not reach a Baha'i. Now imagine this, who does not teach the faith. And this is when the Baha'i becomes frustrated in his life. I become frustrated in my life. I become unhappy. Since I've become a Baha'i, I've become unhappy. Since I've become a Baha'i, I have all kinds of problems. It's the divine assistance which must come to us. And I can assure you that most of the problems that we have in our daily life or in our anything we do can be and will be resolved if we become so much, throw ourselves into the field of teaching every day. Then things will happen to us. Great things will happen. One will change. Now, I'm not saying that one should say, oh, well, I have a lot of problems in my life, so I better go and do a little bit of teaching so that my problems may be solved. But I can assure you that many of our problems will be so removed from the scene because you will be elevated into a different world and these problems will sort themselves out. It will completely go into the background. Now teaching, which is personal thing. I was talking about somebody in one of these gatherings some years ago, and a woman came to me and she said, look, she said, I have become worried since you have been saying these things, that we must teach the faith every day, and if we don't teach the faith, God's assistance will be stopped from us. I said, I didn't say that. It's Abdu'l-Bahá who says this. Oh yes, she said, I'm worried still. I'm still, in any case, I'm worried about it. And she said, I am a very reserved person. I can't go out and talk to the people about the faith. I feel very embarrassed. I cannot teach personally. And now she said, what shall I do? I am worried, he said. She kept on saying this. I said to her, did you say you're worried? She said, yes. I said, that's very good. Keep on worrying. That's your solution to your problems. Brilliant. Keep on worrying. This is a very good solution. If ever we are brought to the point of worrying about something, you're going to do something about it. Do you know that? When you find in your daily life, it's the same thing. If you lose your job, or if you your family has some problem and you begin to worry, then you are going to put one foot in front of the other and something will happen. Well, this lady went away and she came back again. She said, I can't rest. We'll have to do something, she said. She said, I'm very reserved. I can't talk about the faith to anyone. So eventually, after talking about it, mentioned to her that, look, you can go, and even though that you say you are very shy or reserved or whatever it is, go out every day. And she said, that's a good idea. She said, I will give 1 hour a day for Baha'u'llah. And this is a marvelous example. I think we should remember that. Why not give 1 hour a day to Baha'u'llah for teaching? 2 hours a day, maybe, but the minimum. And she said, I'll spend some time shopping, I'll spend some time at home. Why not give 1 hour a day to Baha'u'llah for teaching? And discipline yourself. And she said, I will go out. And she went out. She said, I'll go to a cafe. And I'll sit there. And she said she went to a cafe for 2 or 3 months, regularly. And the next time I saw her, she told me this. She said, it doesn't work. She said, I went there for 3 months, every day. I sat there, and many people came in the cafe and sat in front of me on the same table, shared the table. And she said, I could never bring myself to tell them anything about the faith. And she said, it doesn't work. I've given it up, she said. Now you see what happened in here, really, and this is another lesson we learn, a very marvelous lesson. You know, God, Baha'u'llah says that once you say you are a Baha'i, and once you enter the faith, He will test you. And always we are being tested, all the time. Remember that. As Baha'is, we are always tested. Now, it's not something that Baha'u'llah has invented and say, I'm going to test the Baha'is. In fact, testing, this is nothing new. This is a law of creation. This is a law of creation. Baha'u'llah mentions in his writings, God will test everything. He says, I will split a hair into 1,000 pieces. These are almost the words of Baha'u'llah. And each piece I will test. Now, test actually is a law of nature. You go to nature and you find tests. I'll give you an example of this. As long as you're sitting, nothing happens to you. But the minute you move, the air will resist you. If you go on a bicycle, have you noticed? When you're going on a bicycle, do you see how the air will resist you? This is nature. This is test. You're being tested. And the faster you go, the greater are the tests. The greater is the resistance. You see these aircrafts which are built up, which go twice the speed of sound. They go so fast that the air will resist it so much that the metal gets red hot. And they have to have a cooling machine inside to cool it off all the time. Because it goes very fast. Nature will test it all the time. When Baha'u'llah says, I'll split a hair into 1,000 pieces and test it, this is true. Because if you look at the atoms, they're all the time under test. Each atom inside it goes through this cycle. Test is part of life. Every one of us are tested. Every day, without knowing it, maybe. When you become Baha'i, especially. When you sit in a local spiritual assembly, we are tested all the time. It all depends how you look at your friend across the table. Just look at her like this. That's enough. I'm being tested. You know? You think of him in a wrong way, not with love. Because Abdu'l-Baha says the standard of consultation is love. Now if I look at somebody when he says something and I want to hit hard at her, you know how it is? Hit hard. Saying such a thing, I'm being tested. Hit hard in my heart, I mean. You know, I hope we don't get to action, but it's no use also to cover it up and be very nice and smiling, and then you hate in your heart or dislike in your heart. That is what matters, what's in our heart. You see how we are tested? And so I am tested. And when I am tested, I cannot progress anymore. When you cannot pass the test, but if you pass the test, do you know what will happen? In our lives, when you are ever high, when you pass the test, then greater field of service you enter into it. You go, you will get to do greater service to the faith. You will want to do that. And as soon as you enter there, your tests become greater. Just like somebody who will go faster. Just like the aircraft which goes faster. Your tests becomes greater. And this is why people who have had not the capacity to pass the test, if they are in a higher position, higher functions, higher duties, they could easily destroy their souls. It's like a person who is flying in an aircraft. You see, if I'm standing on this platform and if I fall, well, only I may hurt my knee. But if I'm flying in an aircraft and fall, that's the end. So if I work in a local spiritual assembly or a national spiritual assembly and I have all these ambitions in my heart and I'm not able to do these things right and I am being always don't pass the test, I might hurt myself a little bit. I might become irritated, I might become cause of problems, but it is not fatal. And this is why those people who were close to the center of the faith, those who were close to Baha'u'llah, like man who flies in the aircraft, or those who were close to Abdu'l-Baha, or those who were close to Shoghi Effendi, in the world center, they, if they had slightest impurities in their lives, if there was any feeling of ambition in their hearts, that little ambition will be magnified and will destroy them. You see? This is the history of our faith. This is why people who were very close to the center of the faith, a little bit of ambition, they will be destroyed. There is no room for ambition in the faith. And especially those who served near the center of the faith, their criterion must have been servitude. Absolute servitude, like Abdu'l-Baha. He was safe. The purest branch was safe. The greatest holy leaf was safe. Because their standard of life was servitude. Utter servitude and self-effacement. But the other family of Baha'u'llah, they all had ambitions. They wanted to be leaders. They wanted to be respected. They wanted to be honored. They wanted to be somebody. None of them endured and none of them could last. They all perished, destroyed themselves. They were very close to the center of the faith. But there must have been a lot of other ambitious people and in the faith, locally, nationally. Well, they hurt each other and hurt themselves, but it is not necessarily going to be fatal. So you see, friends, one of the things to bear in mind is that tests come our way, always. I remember somebody said, there was a very outspoken, beautiful woman who passed away, a marvelous person who became great. She brought so many people into the faith in England. But she was outspoken and she was... And she used to say, you know, when I was not a Baha'i, I had no problems. She used to have no problems with people. I was very happy with everybody. I had no problems. But as soon as I became a Baha'i, then problems appeared after the other, you know. And this may be in one sense true if you are not able to cope with it. If you are not able to really approach people with a loving attitude, and pass the test. God always tests us. Now this woman that I was talking about, who was sitting in a cafe for 3 months, and people came in front of her and sat there, and eventually she couldn't say anything, and she said, although I trusted Baha'u'llah and relied on him, he said, go out and I will assist you. He said, he didn't assist me. Now this is why how we are tested. God tests us to find out how much faith we have in him. This is true. When you arise to serve the faith, you teach and teach and nothing happens. And then you say, well, it doesn't work. So what happens? Really, you're losing your faith in him. This is how he tests you. And when I pointed this to her, she said, you are right. She said, I've been tested, of course. She said, it's my fault that this didn't work out. It is not Baha'u'llah's fault. It's my fault. Because I was not dedicated enough. I was not pure enough. I was not taking Baha'u'llah with me every day. It's my fault. And she said, now that you say, I'm going to sit there every day. I'm going to go every day. 1 hour a day. And I will go if it is necessary for years. I will not give it up. And if anything does not happen, it's my fault. And she went. And you know, she was telling us the story after 2 or 3 weeks. She said, a woman came along and sat in front of me. She said, I couldn't say anything, of course, to her. But she looked at my ring. And she said, what is this strange lines on your ring? Oh, she said, I became so nervous. I couldn't say a word now. She said, I was absolutely nervous. And I began to stammer. And the more I became nervous and stammering, this woman became more interested. You see? She said, what is it? Well, I think she told her very little, and she said, look, you better come in here. Somebody will explain this to you. And well, I can tell you, this woman is a Baha'i. And this other lady is no longer a shy, reserved person. She's one of the best teachers. She's going around and teach. You know, it's like a child who has never had a food before. You give him a little taste of it. Once he gets the taste, he likes it then. And then it becomes a habit for him. This is the way teaching is. And I feel the idea of 1 hour a day, or 2 hours a day, or 3 hours a day, whatever you like, you choose, is a marvelous idea. For giving ourselves to Baha'u'llah for teaching, personal teaching. Now, it is very important that we must remember the difference between teaching and proclamation of the faith. And this is something, again, that I think in most communities that I am familiar with, we are mixing up the two. And as a result of this, we are harming rather than helping. You see, I feel that many people who hear about the faith and they don't come to follow it up is because of the unwisdom of the Baha'i teacher. We say the wrong things at the wrong time. We say too much. We kill him off in the first encounter. Really. We kill him off in the first encounter. And this happens, I believe, a great proportion of people who hear about the faith and do not come in is because of the unwisdom of the friends, of our teachers. And I will explain to you what I mean by this in practical terms. The first thing which happens is that we are so used in doing impersonal teaching that we think when I hold a public meeting in a town and I advertise it and people come there to hear about the faith, I think I'm teaching the faith there. I'm not. That is not a platform for teaching. If you begin to teach the faith there, you are going to do some harm. Now, I'm going to explain this to you because I'm sure some of you may be surprised to hear this. Of course, when you go behind the radio, television, in the newspapers, you cannot teach the faith there. You can proclaim, you can give the message of Baha'u'llah. It's very different from teaching. To give the message of Baha'u'llah, yes, you do that in a public meeting, in a hotel or somewhere. You hold it and you advertise it and people come there. Because people who come to the public meetings, they have never heard of the faith before. Or you must assume they have never heard of the faith before. You cannot teach a person that you do not know. That's a basic principle. But you can give him the message. That's all you can do in a public meeting, is to give him the message of Baha'u'llah, what it is. But we must not make an attempt, in my view, to teach them there. It's very different from giving a message and teaching.